In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this 17th Sunday after Pentecost. And today we are also celebrating the after-feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. Just this past week we celebrated that great feast. And as you know, every time there's a great feast, then for anywhere up to a week or so afterwards, there's the after-feast of that feast. And just like it says in the Gospel, Christ said, if anyone will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so, you know, the Holy Fathers have told us that the cross represents really all those things which are struggles for us in this life. You know, we live in a fallen world, and it's not perfect, and we're not perfect. And so when we have troubles, then we must endure those things, and that's what it means to take up our cross. St. Innocent of Alaska, in his little book, The Indication of the Way to the Kingdom of Heaven, he actually wrote it for the Native Americans up in Alaska initially in their language, and then it was translated later into English and Russian and so on. He talks about external crosses and internal crosses. And the external crosses he describes as those things which happen in our lives, you know, the car breaks down, you know, there's not enough money to pay the rent, we get sick with some bug or something, or we get injured, or, you know, have some kind of hardship like that. Because those are things that are kind of, in a way, outside of us. They just happen to us. But there's something he calls internal crosses, and that's actually when we see our sins. We see ourselves as we truly are, and as we stand before God, and we realize that we're not perfect, or if we've made a mistake or something like that, and we regret that. And so that's a type of suffering, in a way, that we also need to endure. And Innocent says that those internal crosses really are the ones that give us the greatest spiritual fruit, as it were. Well, in today's gospel about the Canaanite woman, in a way, she had a little cross to bear there. Well, actually, quite a great cross. Her daughter was possessed with a demon and must have caused a lot of suffering and misery in her household. In fact, some of the Holy Fathers point out how she actually doesn't say to Jesus, heal my daughter, you know, Lord, please heal my daughter. She says, have mercy on me, you know, because really, in a way, for Christ to have mercy on her was to heal her daughter, because but nonetheless, that would have been a very great struggle for her to have this, you know, crazy, possessed, you know, daughter in her home. And then, of course, this is a very powerful image of prayer for us, because in a way, the request of the Canaanite woman is like when we pray, and it gives us a great example of the virtue of humility and perseverance and faith. The land of Canaan was the place where the descendants of Noah's cursed son Ham lived. Remember, he had three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. And at one point, Noah had drunk too much wine and didn't have any clothes on, and his sons came in, and Ham laughed at him and mocked him and told the other brothers, hey, come check this out, you know, get a good kick out of this. The other brothers, though, respected their father, and they covered up his nakedness. Okay, so basically, this didn't go well with Ham, you know, and so Ham was sort of cursed. And so his descendants eventually settled in these areas around the land of Canaan, which is actually modern-day Lebanon. The people in the land of Canaan were pagans and very much looked down upon by the Jews. You know, they practiced magic and sorcery, and they worshipped idols and all kinds of things. St. John Chrysostom says that even though this woman was a Canaanite, out of humility, she would not even go up to Jerusalem to try and get some help because she counted herself unworthy. But since the Jews would eventually reject Christ, that's why he went to these pagan peoples. You know, he did that on purpose, so that the Jews would not be able to complain later on, well, he was supposed to come to us, you know, he was our Messiah, how come he went with all these pagans? And Jesus was making a point here, because what happens when he's among the Jews, all they do is give him a hard time, and they won't accept him as the Messiah, but when he goes with the pagans, they have great faith, and they're happy to see him, and they really want him to be there. This gospel also reveals that most necessary and powerful virtue of perseverance. When this Canaanite woman asks Christ to heal her daughter, he does not even answer her at first. And then his disciples come and say, Lord, this woman cries after us. You know, please deal with her. And he still insists, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and still does not reply to her. So twice she's come and asked him for help. And many people at that point would have said, I don't need this. You know, who does this guy think he is? God? Of course he is God. You know, but she could have been prideful and marched off somewhere. But undoubtedly, she was desperate. She had probably, you know, gone to doctors, she'd probably gone to sorcerers, who knows where, you know, and nothing worked. And this demon is still railing at her. And now she comes to him a third time, worshiping him, and asks him again for help. And instead of helping her, she receives an insult. He replies, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. But in reality, the Holy Fathers talk about how he's not really calling this woman a dog. He's just saying that all those who don't are outside of the law of God, the pagans, in other words, the Gentiles, in a sense, are dogs, you know, so to speak, because they don't have the knowledge of the truth. So it's not so much personally. But in any case, she certainly could have taken it that way. But what amazing perseverance she had. She does not take no for an answer, but keeps on trying no matter what, even in the face of insults. The 4th century desert father Evagrios the Solitary once said about perseverance, do not lose heart and despair because you have not yet received the gift of prayer. You will receive it later. Persevere with patience in your prayer and repulse the cares and doubts that arise within you. And St. John Chrysostom also points out what great faith she demonstrated by not asking Christ to come to her house, or even bringing the girl to him. In this way, she was very much like that centurion who had tremendous faith, who just asked Christ to heal his servant, and Jesus offered to come to his house. He says, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come to under the roof of my house, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. So that centurion also revealed tremendous faith, which of course is why Christ is doing these things, to draw this out, to show everyone, you know, what great faith these people have. Well, perhaps at one time or another, some of us have turned to Christ for help and prayed for some need that we had. But when our prayer was not immediately granted to us, or in the time frame that we thought, or the way in which we thought, we might have become faint-hearted and may have given up too quickly. But just as a wise teacher tests their students, so Christ permits us to be tested. If the student gives up and does not finish their test, they will fail. But if they keep trying, sooner or later, they will succeed. And this is certainly true in our spiritual lives. Again, this Canaanite woman demonstrates a strong faith that Christ can heal her daughter. And she was humble and was willing to acknowledge her faults. After all, she had erred in her beliefs, worshiping as a pagan, and not believing rightly in the one true God. And yet now she casts all this aside and uses her great perseverance to good advantage. And then Jesus acts at just the right moment, as he always does. He waits until the greatest possible good can come of this whole interaction, when the Canaanite woman's great faith can be seen clearly and revealed before all. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So as St. Nikolai Vlimirovich said, let us then emulate the persevering prayer and strong faith of the poor Canaanite woman, and not hold back in spirit for a single moment. Let us have a persevering faith, striving constantly to keep the fire of our faith from growing cold. Let us perseveringly send up our prayer to the living Lord, both for ourselves and for the whole Church of God and for the whole human race. And faith alone, will strengthen our souls and drive away all fear and all doubt within us. And prayer will clarify our souls and will fill us with joyful faith, healthy thoughts, and ardent love. May the merciful and loving Lord Jesus Christ strengthen our faith and hearken unto our prayers. Glory be to our God.